across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the month of March. It's Friday, March 1st, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, through social media feeds, or maybe you're listening later on through the podcast. We appreciate you being here all the way around. I've got a question for you to start the weekend, and I don't mean to ruin your breakfast right from the jump here. But if Eric Hovde takes off his shirt, will you vote for him? I mean, just throwing that out there. You'll find out. Greg's shaking his head already. Find out why we'll be checking with Greg in just a minute here. But, you know, it's one of the things that might be on somebody's mind today, in which case you can join us at our new number. It's for calls or texts. So here's the number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or if you're all numeric that way, 855-752-4842. You can also put a comment on Facebook like Curtis did over here saying good morning from Silver Lake. Thank you, Curtis. We appreciate it and appreciate you chiming in that way. So yeah, you can call us, text us, use the app. Otherwise, the Civic Media app is just the easiest way to go about doing all this. Here's what all we have coming up this morning here. Senator Mitch McConnell, usually it's like R-Kentucky in there. I'm going to call it R-Obstruction, is stepping down as Senate Republican leader at the end of this year. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil will join us to talk about how McConnell's legacy ranges from that of a strategic partisan to a destroyer of the norms that have rendered the Senate essentially useless. That and other stories Kia will tell us about. It is March 1st. That marks the start of National Women's Month. And so we're going to talk a bit to kick off the 7 o'clock hour about a bill that was introduced a year ago by Senator Tammy Baldwin to memorialize women who fought and sacrificed for decades to win the right to vote. And yet that bill still hasn't passed yet. The suffragist memorial has still not been even designed, much less a location picked in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about what's going on with that and so much more still ahead. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee met yesterday and once again played a shell game with money, saying they were for things before they were against them. So we have a busy show ahead. We'll tell you some of what's on Up North News social media feeds, the website, and of course in our daily newsletter as well. But we should tell you right now, I got to share these temperatures. It's 6:09, and these temperatures are 20 and in many cases 30 degrees warmer than yesterday. It's 36 on Lake Wissota, 6 yesterday, 36 this morning. Hayward's at 32, Park Falls 29, Wausau 30 degrees. Green Bay, it's at 35, as is La Crosse. Wisconsin Rapids, folks listening to locally grown radio, you're at 31 right now. Oshkosh 31, Madison 31. And for folks listening to the Shaw, WAUK in Waukesha, it is 28 degrees in the place where you will find one Greg Bach getting set for another weekend of, well, getting a break from the radio, but not getting a break from the ha-ha. Bach, how are you this morning?
I'm feeling good. It's warm outside. It's Wisconsin, and it's March 1st.
Oh, I like the song.
Thank you.
It's very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's our new style that we borrowed from somewhere else. It's, you know, a song that the verses can just be whatever you want.
Exactly.
They don't have to rhyme or anything. Let's see, if I were to say, let's do word association.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say
yeah.
some words, and you're going to tell me everything that's associated with it.
Oh, no, God, it's like the SATs all over again. Okay.
No. I'm putting the ball on the tee for you,
okay,
buddy.
All right.
If I say Colin Tyrell.
Yeah. Laughing what, tap.
The Laughing Tap. There you go. What's going on this weekend?
Colin Tyrell is going to be at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Three shows, one on Friday, two on Saturday. Tickets are available at laughingtap.com. And you know what's great about the Laughing Tap, besides me being there?
Besides you, yeah.
Tickets are only $22 online, $25 at the door. And some people may say, that's kind
you
of...
shut your mouth. That is such a bargain.
Holy but cow. You know what we don't have that most clubs do have?
The drink minimum,
exactly.
Right?
We do not have a drink minimum at the club. So you, as we tell people, you feel free to drink as little or as much within reason and responsibly as you would like.
There you go. Very nice. So do that. And I don't know, Greg Hoffman, do you take the stage as like the MC or just to kind of fill time?
I probably perform on that stage twice, maybe three times a year. And I'm usually only performing when someone asks for me, because there's three of us who own the place and two of us are stand-up comedians, and we made the decision long before we even opened the doors that neither Caitlin nor myself would try to, like, I'm hosting, I'm doing it, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not building a venue for us. We're building a venue for everyone. And there's a lot of places you go to where the guy who owns the place, he goes, well, I'm going to do 35 minutes up top because I'm the host. I'm like, that's not a thing that happens.
No. Well, good for you. I like the sense of teamwork.
Yeah.
Although I'm a little disappointed simply because we've got this new material to work with. I mean, you would have a comedy bonanza if I simply said to you, Eric Hovde taking off his shirt and plunging into an icy lake to prove he's not a California boy. That's the new video that he put up yesterday. And it's, I don't know if it's disturbing or goofy, but I don't think it hit the mark.
Well, you know, when he takes off his shirt, you find out that his chest also has a mustache.
he's a fuzzy bear. Yes,
he's a fuzzy bear. Yeah. Okay, I'm a Wisconsin guy. Yeah, cool. I'm a Wisconsin guy. Do you know what I don't do? Jump in cold lakes.
No, I do not. I mean, like Curtis told us up in Eagle River, it's pretty cold out there.
Yeah.
And people will fish on the lakes. And again, there is a place for like a polar plunge.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get that people do these ice plunges now where they like fill a tub with ice. But the whole thing of I'm going to break this, you know, thin ice on the lake and plunge myself in and do a selfie, you know, of a video. And and then the part about challenging Tammy Baldwin to come into the lake, too. I'm like, that's a little weird.
Sorry. Senator Baldwin
yes.
is busy right now securing monies and opportunities for the people who live in the state that you just happen to see across a map.
Yeah.
Tammy angry.
Baldwin's response on Twitter was just no. Yeah. The little heart next to it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, bro.
Yeah. Not gonna do it. So yeah. And like somebody noted on social media, what is it with Republican Senate candidates just doing some of the goofiest? You had Dr. Oz, and just some of the other Republican Senate candidates around the country that just are trying to be so show businessy and of course spouting off the usual talking points, you know, oh, our borders. Stop being so goofy and just tell us what you're going to do for us. Just do that.
Do you remember
about your ideas?
Did you ever see the Joe Manchin ad that came out years ago where he shot a copy of the cap and trade agreement? It's like,
yeah.
All right, you're a Democrat too, man. Sort of, I guess. I have no idea. Sort of.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Yeah, so it's not the top news in Wisconsin politics these days, but it's definitely worth noting that Eric Hovde's thinking, if I take my shirt off, you know, jump in the water, will you vote for me? So consider that. It may not be the last time this happens. We'll see. In our daily newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, among the things the legislature won't do anything about this year is gun safety. And in our newsletter, you can read more about my conversations with State Representative Deb Andraca and State Senator Kel DeRoys. They had introduced a measure that would help universities and colleges take additional steps to keep weapons off campus. So you can read about that in the newsletter today. Let's see. We also have new additions to the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. That includes golfer Steve Stricker, former Brewer slugger Prince Fielder, former Packer coach Mike Holmgren, and NASCAR driver Matt Kenseth are all some of the newest additions, and you can read more about that in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. If you go to upnorthnewswi.com, there's a few new op-ed columns in there as well. One of the most recent is from Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who talks about the record number of people who signed up during the most recent open enrollment period for affordable health care through the Affordable Care Act and using the marketplaces for that, and how when other politicians are still promising after more than a decade to rip away that health care security, that affordable health care security, believe them. Believe when they say they want to take that health care away from you. And on our Facebook page, there's a link to a story about top hiking trails in the La Crosse area. And so look for all that and more at upnorthnewswi.com. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee, probably the most powerful group in Wisconsin politics because it's made up of both Senate and Assembly members, and they determine what does and doesn't get into the state budget. Well, they met yesterday, and by the time all was said and done, what they'd offered up were a pair of middle fingers to Wisconsin. I'll explain. Two more instances of, I guess I would call it bait and switch, maybe, where they say, yes, we're going to help with something. And then they say, no kidding, psych, nope, not actually going to help you at all. Now, the one that is most noteworthy is the one about PFAS, these industrial chemicals, that, again, the legislature passed $125 million. And yet those funds remain unspent. And the Journal Sentinel headline says they remain unspent as Republicans and Democrats argue over legislation. That's a little too both sides of a headline for me. Democrats actually want to spend the money to help. Republicans are looking for ways to protect the polluters and not move forward with the money. I'm going to have details coming up in just a couple of moments. But first, if you missed it earlier, the Milwaukee Bucks, they beat the Charlotte Hornets again last night, this time in Charlotte, 111-99. So they have won all four games against the Hornets this year, Giannis with 24 points. And then they headed right to Chicago. They will play the Bulls tonight. Broadcast starts at 8:30 on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the center, Lake Air and Amory, WRJN and Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll have so much more ahead right after we tell you that wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday, March 1st, when you're here, you're up north on the Civic Media Radio Network. History lesson coming up in about a half hour, but here's a little preview of it. A little Moonlight Serenade from Glenn Miller, who was born this day in 1904, passed away in 1944 when the plane he was in was lost over the English Channel in the waning months of the Second World War. Kia Vakil is coming up for us in just a moment as well to talk a bit about some of the national politics of the day. But last I checked, I believe I was talking sports here. Yes, I mentioned that the Bucks were winners yesterday against Charlotte, and that you could hear that game on several Civic Media stations. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team returns home to play tomorrow against 13th-ranked Illinois. The Marquette men's basketball team, ranked 5th in the country, plays Saturday afternoon versus Creighton in Omaha. Let me get to the hockey here, because the 6th-ranked Badger men's hockey team hosts Michigan State in the regular season finale this weekend at the Kohl Center. The Badgers have the chance to claim the regular season conference title with a couple of wins over Sparty, and that broadcast can be heard on locally grown radio WFHR Wisconsin Rapids starting at 7:30 tonight. The second-ranked Badger women's hockey team, the women, will be back in action this weekend at Madison's Laban Arena as they host the first round of the conference tournament against St. Thomas. Those games will be held this evening at 5, Saturday at 4, and then if a third game is necessary, it'll take place Sunday at 4 p.m. And I will note again, the UW River Falls women's hockey team, undefeated throughout the regular season. They host UW-Eau Claire Saturday afternoon in the conference tournament final. Then on Sunday, they'll find out the pairings for the NCAA College Women's Hockey Tournament. So congratulations again to them on just a, having a perfect season and trying to make that roll on. Let me pick up where I was on the Joint Finance Committee and deciding that even though they had approved $125 million in the state budget, they're still not actually going to approve it. Laura Schulte of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writes that Republicans proposed legislation that would allot the money for grant programs for things like testing, remediation, and research, but notably, it would also potentially constrain the Department of Natural Resources from taking certain actions. I would put a big underline under potentially, because it doesn't potentially constrain the DNR. It would constrain the DNR from taking certain actions. And while Republicans claim their language is only meant to, quote unquote, protect the victims of pollution from the threat or issuance of costly enforcement, Democrats say the language would basically protect the companies that manufactured or used PFAS in the production of their product. Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay says Governor Evers, instead of vetoing the Republican bill, needs to listen to the needs of the people and the communities impacted by PFAS. But that is so typical of Republicans hiding behind the victims so that the corporations can hide behind the Republicans, when you really would be better off just looking out for the victims and holding the polluters accountable. There is a larger issue here, and it is about the need to reform how state money is spent. Because what good is a state budget if the legislature can pass money, claim that they pass spending money, but then not write the check for the need they budgeted for? And if that sounds familiar, it's the debt limit, the debt ceiling, all over again in Congress, where again, Congress has approved spending, and then Republicans don't actually want to write a check, which is what they have to do to increase the debt limit. I mean, it's just a deadbeat type of situation. So this needs to be reformed, where the legislature, when they approve spending money, when they approve spending your money in the state budget, what that means is that it then goes basically to the executive branch of government. The legislative branch has done their part. They have approved spending this money. It's then the executive branch, through its agencies like the DNR and others, that says, okay, we're going to study the best ways to spend the money and spend it. The legislature saying, oh, no, you've got to come back to us for every dime that you want to spend. What's the sense of having an executive branch then? The legislative branch has oversight. They have an audit committee. They have all kinds of other tools at their disposal. But this whole business of saying, well, we're approving spending money, but then we're not actually going to spend the money, is just a huge bait and switch. So that needs to be reformed. Much like what needs to be reformed in the way the Senate is supposed to confirm cabinet nominees, because the DNR hasn't had a secretary since November, when Senate Republicans again obstructed Governor Evers' ability to name the members of his own cabinet. It's this kind of abuse of the process. Oh, wait, there's redistricting as well, which led to gerrymandered maps. I mean, Democrats would be wise to run on a reform platform. And I know a lot of people say, nope, that's inside baseball. You're talking process. Voters don't want to hear about it. I happen to disagree. I think you can lay these things out and run as a reformer. And the place where I would start with that would be the Chippewa Valley. Because you'll recall we had State Representative Jody Emerson on talking about how there's $15 million again, that had already been approved in the budget process by the legislature, just sitting out there because it was supposed to go to add more emergency psychiatric beds in the Chippewa Valley because there's a real shortage. Well, now two of the hospitals in the Chippewa Valley are shutting down. So they're not going to be adding the beds that they could have used the money for. So the money, again, has been allocated. So there are ways you could then use that money to bridge the gap. Because otherwise, as Representative Emerson said, a whole lot of healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, lab techs, all of them, they're going to lose their jobs. They're going to move on. unless you can find a way to bridge that through other services that are provided, other entities that would come in, that $15 million could be very helpful. But first you had to kind of change the language a bit so that, you know, legally the $15 million could be used for that. Republicans said, nope, it's still got to be used just for capital expenditures. And as Jody said yesterday, you know, they don't need more buildings. They're about to have two big empty buildings out there. This needs to be put into services. This needs to be put into people. And Republicans did not put this on the Joint Finance Committee agenda for yesterday, basically throwing a you know, another middle finger out there. And while their point being, the Republicans, saying that by Governor Evers vetoing the Republican plan, using his line item veto to kind of remove the restrictions and give more flexibility for the money, they say it excessively expands the scope and uses of the fund. And they talk about, you know, turning this into a slush fund that won't help the needs of the Chippewa Valley. And by the way, who thinks that's going to happen when you've got an entire region watching you as to how to spend the money? So the question I ask is, are they, the Republicans, just that cynical that they see everything as potentially creating a slush fund? Or are they projecting again at what they or other Republicans in the future might do if you actually provided flexibility? In my mind, this is no different than voting no on emergency aid, on disaster relief. All kinds of members of Congress are hearing it from people where they say, well, I voted no on disaster relief for people in these other states. But then the disaster hits their state and they want to vote yes. The hypocrisy is just rank, and these folks need to be held accountable, which is why we're talking about it this morning. All right, coming up, we're going to have the Midwest Farm Report, and then Nakia Vakil will be here as well to take us through this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. Now on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. Kia, how are you?
I'm pretty well, Pat. How about yourself?
Doing all right, thanks. We're going to cover some of the headlines of the week here. I wouldn't describe it as any kind of a barn burner week necessarily. Unless you count historic announcements and Mitch McConnell leaving after however many years, you know, two decades as leader. That's certainly historic. But let's just say there's differing opinions as to his legacy?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Obviously, McConnell is as responsible for anyone as for, you know, the loss of Roe v. Wade and reproductive rights. He is one of the most powerful Republicans of the last 20 years who basically caved to Trump and let Trump kind of, you know, overtake the party. By ignoring judicial norms and really trying, like, doing everything he could to sabotage Obama, he really, you know, fertilized the ground for Trump in a way. And so that's not to say all of that is Mitch McConnell. There have been movements for decades, you know, around him. But he is, you know, other than Trump, arguably the most influential Republican of the 21st century. And he's retiring, you know, ironically, widely hated by Republican voters.
Yes. That rhino terminology gets thrown around nowadays, which actually just means you're not part of, you know, MAGA. It doesn't mean you're a Republican or not a Republican at all for this guy. But I think basically he continues a Republican modern tradition that they won't do something good for the country and therefore good for the Republican Party if it also makes Democrats look good. And that is definitely a change from, you know, the schoolhouse rock era I grew up in, where, you know, it was country first. But, you know, Mitch McConnell's turned back a lot of things because, you know, Democrats might have gotten some of the credit too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty much what he spent 8 years doing under when Barack Obama was president. It's been interesting to watch him in the Biden era. I don't have any evidence for this, but it seems like he truly got spooked by January 6th And, you know, I'm not going to give him any credit because, you know, he could have done a whole hell of a lot more within 4 years of a Trump administration and after January 6th. But he, you know, on some issues has been one of the few Republicans to not completely bend to Trump. And but again, he still worked overtime to deny Democrats a political win. He, again, created the ground that Trump now has run roughshod on. And so, right, you know, the modern politics are Mitch McConnell's creation. And so, you know, we can acknowledge that he's not as bad as folks like Ted Cruz or Ron Johnson in terms of, you know, just far out lunacy, but he is more dangerous and has done more harm to more people than almost anybody.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And in terms of a successor, there is no obvious successor. I don't think he's necessarily anointing anybody. And it won't happen until after the presidential election anyway. So, well, you know, it'll depend on, you know, whether Biden, Trump or something else happens. So that one is in the wait and see column, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's some, you know, jockeying going on between the, you know, it's three men named John, white men named John, who are Republicans in the Senate.
Of course.
One from one of the Dakotas, one from Texas, and one from Wyoming. And so, you know, John Thune, John Barrasso, and John Cornyn, almost certainly going to be one of them. We'll see which one. They're all pretty damn conservative. So, you know, we're not going to know for 8 or 9 months, but, you know, it's, they're not going to get less extreme. Let's put it that way.
Right. And look, for as far right as Mitch McConnell was in so many ways, one thing that he did, you know, quote unquote, learn, which takes us to current events here, is that no matter how much you want to talk about cutting taxes, cutting the budget, cutting spending, a government shutdown strategy never has worked for Republicans. And yet, again, they were trying again. It's been averted, but for how long? Just another, couple weeks, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's amateur hour in the House of Representatives, as it has been for the last year plus. You know, whether it was Kevin McCarthy last year, Mike Johnson for the last 4 or 5 months, you know, it's a joke. I mean, we're just extending the governor by a month at a time, 2 weeks at a time, 2 months at a time. You know, they can't get their act together to pass spending bills in the House because the Republican Party in the House is just a bunch of amateurs who just want to be on OAN and Fox News every night. They don't actually care about legislating. They don't care about helping people or lowering costs or making healthcare easier to access or anything. They care about, you know, targeting trans and, you know, migrants at the border with really, you know, draconian measures, and then won't support like reforms, and they don't want to govern is the bottom line. And so we keep running into almost government shutdowns pretty much once a month at this point, and we're headed for another one in 2 weeks unless something changes.
Yeah, I just feel like we're just going to rinse and repeat over and over again. Well, where do we go next on here? Let's stay in Congress, because one of the topics this week has been in vitro fertilization after that Alabama Supreme Court ruling from last week. And you have Republicans backpedaling like never before to say, well, you know, we want a lot of restrictions on women's reproductive health care rights, but your IVF is okay. And I've been saying all week, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. And I guess we'll just pick on one, Cindy Hyde-Smith. I don't trust them as far as I can throw Cindy Hyde-Smith. What's the status of IVF, quote unquote, protection by Republicans?
Yeah. So, you know, in the aftermath of the Alabama ruling, which, you know, forced a handful of clinics in the state to basically stop IVF treatment because they're worried about getting sued, you know, Senate Democrats introduced a bill to, you know, protect IVF access nationwide. They on Wednesday tried to get unanimous consent to pass it kind of in what's called a voice vote. So, you know, it's a shortcut basically. And Cindy Hyde-Smith, who's a Republican senator from Mississippi, blocked it. So the bill, you know, the bill didn't pass. They could still potentially hold like a formal vote and force all the Republican senators to go on record. And they probably will do that, you know, because, you know, if you're a Republican, you know, right now, like you're tripping over yourself to try and distance yourself from that Alabama ruling. But the problem you have is a big portion of your base actually does believe what those judges believe. A big portion of your voters believe that, you know, frozen embryos are equivalent to children, which, to be clear, is scientific nonsense. But there is a not insignificant portion of the Republican base, specifically the evangelical anti-abortion base, that believes that. And so Republicans have to find this really fine line where they're supporting IVF, but avoiding talking about the specifics of it, because the specifics of it get them in trouble with their base. And so they have not figured it out. I don't think they will figure it out, because, you know, the things they're trying to do just can't coexist.
It seems to me the place to store the frozen embryos then would be in schools, because that way, if there's a school shooting, they clearly don't care about the, you know, the actual children. So, you know, if the embryos are just collateral damage, so be it. Meanwhile, you've got well over 100 members of Congress saying that there should be many more restrictions on access to abortion care medication.
Yeah. So in March, in about a month, the Supreme Court's going to hear a lawsuit that seeks to, from a far right Christian group, by the way, that seeks to revoke the FDA's approval of mifepristone, which is one of the two main drugs used in medication abortions, which are extremely safe and extremely common. They make up more than half of abortions nationwide. The FDA approved this drug in 2000 and, you know, expanded access to it a couple years ago. You know, this group, the lawsuit's happening, the case is happening in about a month. And on Thursday, nearly 150 Republicans in Congress asked the Supreme Court to restrict access to the drug. And as justification, they cited the Comstock Act, which is a law from 1873.
Of course.
Just a few years after the Civil War ended, before women could vote, you know, before a whole lot of people could vote. It's just mind-boggling. They're using that law as a justification to block abortion medication. You know, this is not the first instance of the Comstock Act being, you know, used in this way, or used as a justification. We have a lot of evidence that if Republicans win control of the government next year, they're going to use this law to try to ban abortion nationwide, because they could use it to ban the shipment of medical supplies used in clinics, like hospitals, anything that is used in any form of abortion care, they could ban and then do, like, remove funding from hospitals that violate the law.
Which,
and
so, just tells you where they want to go. They want to go back to the 1800s. I mean,
yeah, I think that's a pretty safe way to put it.
Yep. Well, one of the other big stories this week was across the street over at the U.S. Supreme Court, where the court, again, I've said before, in my estimation, it was a political decision more than a judicial one, helping Donald Trump further delay accountability and justice and trials for election interference by saying, yep, we'll take up your claim of absolute immunity, and we'll eventually get around to hearing it. Yeah. And there's now, of course, the obvious pushback that says, no, they're being careful. The wheels of justice are turning ever so slowly. And I just wonder what your own thoughts are, that, you know, a very solid court of appeals ruling, rather than just being accepted by the Supreme Court, is going to get heard all over again sometime in April.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe that Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas and John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh and all these folks, you know, are being genuine and not playing politics, you know, I have a really rundown, like, car to sell you for
a rundown RV, you know.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the Supreme Court is political. Like, I think nothing has showed that more than the Dobbs decision, more than the last 5 years of decisions. You know, it's been political forever, but it's currently and recently gotten so political that it's completely destroyed the reputation of it and the integrity of it. You know, this is very clearly a move to try and, you know, they waited a few weeks to actually decide if they were going to hear it. They scheduled arguments for 2 months from now. That could delay the trial till after the election. And, you know, if I were a voter, I'd want to know if one of the two choices I have realistically is, you know, is convicted
of criminal
overturn the last election,
right,
where he was also on the ballot. So it's a total hatchet job. And, you know, I don't think we should be shy about calling it that.
I want to go back for just a second to the abortion pill, the 145 members, okay, who want to just to say I gave a quick look at it.
And the only Wisconsin name that I saw was Scott Fitzgerald, which was not a surprise. But I wouldn't have been surprised to see a couple of other names. But Scott Fitzgerald's name was on there in case people are wondering, well, who from Wisconsin was on there? So there you go. Last thing we're going to cover briefly, there are a couple of major grocery chains out there who are talking a merger. Unfortunately, because they are these huge conglomerates, they're like an umbrella. And there are smaller companies under them, smaller, you know, is relative. But here in Wisconsin, if you're familiar with Roundy's or Pick and Save or Cops, this news story would affect customers of those chains as well, Kia.
Yeah, so the Federal Trade Commission, which is an agency in the federal government, this week has sued to block what would be the biggest grocery store merger ever between Kroger's, which owns, you know, the places you just mentioned, and Albertsons, which is another big supermarket conglomerate. These two companies announced a merger in 2022. They own a ton of chains across the country. No matter what region you live in, one of your grocery stores is probably owned by one of these two companies, and they want to merge. And, you know, that would, you know, we know what mergers do. They reduce jobs, they lead to store closures, they lead to higher prices. And that comes at a time when food prices are, you know, 25, 26% higher than 4 years ago, pre-pandemic. And that's crazy. And these companies can afford to do that because of monopolies up and down the food supply chain. And so the Biden administration has sued to block this merger. It's not going to solve every problem, obviously, but it is a start. Monopolies are a thing that, you know, people from both parties loathe for the most part, voters from most parties loathe. And so it's a positive step in the right direction.
Yeah, because I think as more is being learned about the monopoly or near monopoly powers that affect consumers, I think there's more of an inroad there for certain elected officials from President Biden on down to say, we're going to fight that on your behalf. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Vakil, as always, thank you so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll be back with more after this. You're up north. Time for today's history lesson and musical memories on the first day of March, and this was the number one song on this day in 1975 by the Eagles.
Every night I'm lying in bed, holding you.
I love Country Eagles.
Country Eagles was awesome.
I just
Rockin' Eagles was awesome.
Yeah,
just
everything. You're right.
Just everything. Everything. Ugh. They even had the best music documentary that I've seen, and I haven't seen a ton of them. But that Eagles documentary,
it's kind of fun to watch. It's fun to watch because they produced it. And when they get in the Don Felder breakup years, you're like, nothing is healed.
No, they do not. Contrast that with Chicago, another big band from the 70s. They produced their own documentary. And I like the band. I like the music. Boy, was that a puff piece. I mean, they included a little mix up with the drummer, but otherwise it could have been much more critical, shall we say. All right, so this was the number one single on this day in 1975. The number one album this day in 1975 happened to be by Bob Dylan. The album was called Blood on the Tracks. Here was one of the singles.
And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through.
Blood on the Tracks, top album this day in 1975. Look, I don't know a lot of Bob Dylan, so just take it with a grain of salt that this is far and away one of my favorites. I really like this one. We mentioned Glenn Miller, born on this day in 1904. Yellowstone, not the show, the park, was established as the world's first national park on this day in 1872. Frederick Chopin was born this day in 1810, the Polish pianist and composer.
Old Freddie Chapin.
Yeah. on this day in 1973, a little album was released. It got a little bit of traction.
by a group, an up-and-coming group called Pink Floyd, and Dark Side of the Moon was released on this day in 1973. I've never done the thing where you're supposed to like cue the record up to the start of Wizard of Oz. I'm getting a thumbs down from Greg too.
So no? Dumb.
Okay. Now I don't feel bad.
No.
Little Ronnie Howard. Little Ron Howard is 70 years old today. Went from being Opie to the legendary film director. Kesha is 37 today. And if you want to, some of you younger listeners want to feel older, the Biebs, Justin Bieber, turns 30 today.
Oh, just like our executive producer, handsome and capable Luke Mathers.
Let's see. Oh, here's another big birthday. Look at these round birthdays. Ron Howard, 70. Justin Bieber, 30. Roger Daltrey today turns 80. Happy birthday, Roger Daltrey, turning 80 today. On this day in 1998, Titanic became the first film to gross over $1 billion worldwide. And it's now at $2.25 billion, which is number four all time. As far as how many films since then have made $1 billion worldwide, more than 50. So it's not even that much of a benchmark anymore.
Yeah, I like that movie.
And Harry Belafonte, American singer, songwriter, actor. We talked about him yesterday in the We Are the World documentary, which, by the way, somebody asked on Facebook yesterday, and I sent them a link to it. And it's not called, the documentary is not called We Are the World. Is it something like The Greatest Night in Pop? Something like that. It's on Netflix. So if you search through, you'll see it.
Yep, The Greatest Night in Pop.
Okay, there we go. So just want to make sure I mentioned that. All right, it's March the 1st. So there are, it's the first day of the month. So there's not just national days, we're starting months. And there's a lot of them here. So Greg, just jump in whenever you want to say, oh, that's good, or what? Let's see, it's Endometriosis Awareness Month.
What?
It is, it's International Ideas Month. I don't, it's like an idea. There's always a good time for an idea. Don't need a month.
And that's just, and as Wisconsin legislature's leaving on International Ideas Month, I mean, okay.
Yeah, it's appropriate. And Congress is on a break,
yep.
You know, with all these things that are still lingering out there. We mentioned briefly that this is the start of National Women's History Month, and we're going to have a lot more to say about that in our next segment. This is International Women of Color Day, National Black Women in Jazz and the Arts Day.
Rock.
This day is called National Day of Unplugging.
We sorry. Can't do
that because, the radio just doesn't allow. So, let's see. It's Employee Appreciation Day. Again, every day should be Employee Appreciation Day. It's Peanut Butter Lovers Day. It is it's National Pig Day. There's all these national name days, and I always skip over those, like, you know, National Jacob Day, National Nancy Day. And I usually skip them, but for reasons you'll understand, today is National Sage Day.
Oh,
so happy Sage Day. Sage Weil, our boss at the radio station, who's very handsome and talented and all the things you say about Luke. Let's see. These are all months here now. This is Speech and Debate Education, Wedding Planning Month, Welsh Corgi, the Peace Corps, Public Risk Management Awareness. I always love when these jobs that are just so niche, they get their own day. Happy Public Risk Management Awareness Day or week or whatever. Today's National Share a Smile Day, World Civil Defense Day, World Compliment Day, World Day of Prayer. This marks Hearing Awareness Week,
what?
Invest in Veterans Week. Yeah, right. American Red Cross Month, MS Awareness Month, nice. Athletic Training Month, National Crafts Month, National Kidney Month, National Nutrition Month. So, I mean, you got no reason not to puff out your chest a little bit at something, even if it's crafts.
I got two kidneys. What's up?
I was teasing my mom the other day that, you know, she, in the, again, raising me in the 70s, I had to go through all of her various craft stages. When they were embroidering jeans, I had embroidered jeans. She went through macrame and crochet and ceramics. A lot of when she was picking up sewing, she'd sew some clothes for us to wear at school that, you know, didn't exactly come out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, but she had crafts. Whereas, you know, now we joke because now at our age, our craft, our hobby is tracking our food intake so that we know what's making us feel uncomfortable or not. Like that's your new hobby, Mom, is just tracking what goes in. And
I've got a macrame tracker.
Yes.
I love macrame.
So coming up next, National Women's History Month, and Tammy Baldwin's bill to put a monument in Washington.